I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Remember this service last year when we set off the fire alarm? It's not happening this year. You're not getting out of church early. We're doing the whole sermon. Raise your hand. Are you familiar with TED Talks? Okay. Some people familiar with TED Talks. Not as many people as I thought at the first service, why I launched right into this, making references to TED Talks. TED, an organization putting on conferences, talking about innovation, all kinds of different, they get kind of the thought leaders in their fields to come and do 18 to 20 minute speeches, and they're very like slick and well put together. They're super cool. And of the top five most viewed TED Talks, there's like 30 million plus views. These are the ones that go viral. The number four TED Talk of all time is one by a researcher named Brené Brown. It's on the power of vulnerability. Who's seen this thing? Okay, here's the deal. Pull out your phone and watch it. Don't listen to me anymore. It's way better than what I have to say. Now, you would love this. She's fascinating. Brené is a research professor at the University of Houston Research College. She's also Episcopalian, by the way. So I guarantee you she's down in Houston getting ready for her midnight service. But she is also, what she researches is, she researches the effects, causes, and phenomenology of vulnerability, empathy, and shame, right? And it's fascinating. She's also written like four New York Times best-selling books. She is no slouch. However, one of the things she said was so fascinating to me. She said, when you look at empathy and shame, they exist on like a continuum where these two experiences are on either side of the continuum. So if you can imagine, like over here is empathy, and then on the other side is shame. And she says, you want to picture it like it's an old school radio where you've got a dial and you can move the needle across the bandwidth. And she said, the thing that moves the needle of our souls toward either empathy or shame is vulnerability. So if you take vulnerability and you crank it way down and turn it off, you end up with shame. So shame is an experience where there's no vulnerability, because if you're ashamed, either you're shaming someone or you're being shamed, you close off, right? You armor up, you protect yourself. And so it leads to disconnection, fear, mistrust, paranoia. However, she says, if you take that knob and you crank up the vulnerability, you end up with empathy. Because to be empathic and to be really empathetic with someone, it means you have to, what she says, you have to feel with them. So that means someone brings you their pain, something they're troubled by, something they're afraid of, you have to sit and withhold judgment. You have to take a moment to perspective take. I wonder how they're seeing that, where they're coming from. And then you actually have to enter into their pain a little bit. You have to find a place in yourself, even if you haven't been through it, to say, that would be really hard to experience, right? So in empathy, we basically, you sit with another person and you say, me too. Yeah, I get that. Have you ever had this experience where you have brought something that was painful, or you were vulnerable and someone met you with empathy, right? It's pretty good, isn't it? Because the thing is, empathy, as opposed to shame, actually heals things. It actually makes things better. So if someone brings you a problem, they're like, you know, I think I didn't study for this test and I'm going to fail it tomorrow. And as a parent, if this is my kid, and I'm like, well, you should have studied more. Well, have a nice time with that. What's happening to the relationship? We're cranking that vulnerability on down, right? But even, and this is being my best moment, I wouldn't react like that, and I would say, well, tell me about what you're anxious about in that regard. What do you think the consequences are? Is there a workaround? Could we talk about it? And what happens is, with empathy, you actually open up space to connect, and it makes things whole. Are you with me? In empathy, we feel with someone and we say, me too. All right, now, many of you are like, where is he going with this? I thought this is, in this Christmas Eve, like, where's the baby Jesus? So that story we just read about the baby Jesus in Luke 2 is so familiar to us. It can be easy to miss a lot of what it's saying, right? We know the story. We know about the census. We know about this teenage couple who are on the run with their baby. We know about the fact that there's no room for them in this inn. We know that they end up in a manger. The child is laid in a place where animals are eating straw, wrapped in bands of cloth, doesn't even have clothes. Like, we know this. We know about the shepherds. And we have, like, sentimental attachments to this, right? I mean, we love the baby Jesus, right? Who doesn't? But in our sentiment, we can start to miss some of the really outrageous, huge, and profound things that this story is saying about the nature of God. This story is fine with you accessing it through sentiment at first, but it doesn't want you to stay there. What this story is interested in doing is it is carrying deep and profound truths, and it wants you to see them. Do you know what one of them is? Think about what this story is saying about God and what kind of God we're talking about in this story. You have in this story a claim that the infinite creator of all things, the uncreated creator of all things, infinite God, becomes a finite baby, a frail and fragile human being, born, can't get a hotel room, right? Doesn't even have clean clothes when he's born, in an area where animals are living. It's not like a high-end birthing suite with like cucumber water and like floral effort. It's like there's no doula there holding hands. You can do it. Like, this is like, it is raw. The risk of infection is high. It is dirty. And then the very first people to encounter this baby are not the important political figures. They're not the people that are the haves and the folks that you should really meet so-and-so because you got good connections. Do you know who it is? It's these shepherds that nobody knows who they are. They're like, they're the working class. Nobody even cares about them. They could go away and it wouldn't even matter. And yet they are the ones who first discover this God. So this God is not like other gods. This God is deeply familiar with weakness. This baby is deeply familiar with fragility. This God gets when you're frail. This God is the God that keeps being found by everybody that seems like they should never find this God. This God's like, oh yeah, I'm there, you'll find me, don't worry. This God is acquainted with vulnerability. Would you agree? So like, here's the thing. If we talk about, and we pray a lot about God Almighty, about Almighty God, right? We're gonna say it today in the Creed, but that's only half the story. Christmas reminds us that God is almighty, but God is also all vulnerable. God has to be all vulnerable for God to be almighty. They have to go together. Are you following me on this? Because this is what Christmas is telling us. This is what the incarnation is telling us about who God is. It's been tempting for us in the West, in Christianity, and especially in America, to like separate them. We like the baby Jesus, and we like Almighty God. Right? Almighty God doesn't take no guff from anybody. Almighty God, who may or may not be called upon to settle a small provincial election. Almighty God, who crushes enemies. Almighty God, who may visit tragedies on those that are not morally upright. Anybody that might talk about a God like that isn't talking about Jesus, because they haven't quite figured out what it means to keep Christ in Christmas. Because if you're going to keep Christ in Christmas, you've got to talk about a God that is all vulnerable. A God that's like, I get suffering. I get weakness. I include it in myself. All the agony, all the ecstasy of this creation, I hold in me as God. I take it all. You can find all of it in me. In the incarnation, God says to all creation, me too. Me too. I've been there. I get it. And this is what's so profound about Dr. Brown's work, because what she's doing in her research is she's actually just mapping out something that's been true for like 2,000 years. She's figuring out, oh, like there's this correlation between vulnerability and empathy and lack of vulnerability and shame. Well, of course that's true, because that is the contour and nature of the divine. This is, of course, empathy and vulnerability would go together, because this is how God, and empathy is actually what, and connection is what heals things, because this is how God has moved in Jesus to heal the entire creation, through a profound act of vulnerability that leads to empathy and connection with the whole creation. Are you with me? Okay, now I can see you're nodding off. Here we go. I'm gonna land the plane. I know it's late. We threw some incense out there. Time to be done. All right. Here's why, what I think this matters for us. As I survey our cultural landscape at the end of 2017, I think one of our biggest problems is that we have a pretty profound empathy deficiency in our culture. Would you agree? Yeah, I talk to people and you talk to people, increasingly they are fearful, to be honest. They are armored up when it comes to sharing anything that is sensitive. I still talk to people that are like, I don't know how to have a conversation with the person that voted differently from me in the 2016 presidential election, right? At the end of 2017, right? Because we are losing our capacity for empathy with each other. And what's happening is the dial of vulnerability is getting turned down farther and farther and farther. And so we are more disconnected. We are more suspicious of each other. We are more fearful. We are more paranoid. And we are not figuring out what it means to live as a Jesus incarnational empathy people in this world. And we're not finding leadership from a lot of sources. We're not finding leadership for how to do this. So I'm kind of wondering, church, maybe it's us, right? Maybe the call of us this Christmas is to remember, if empathy is really how things get put back together, it's going to be up to us to put more empathic response out into this world. We can do it. And I'm going to give you a way how. You ready? I'm not just going to berate you and tell you you should. I'm going to tell you how. Here it is, okay? So when you are in that circumstance where somebody brings something up and it sets off all your hot buttons, like your red flags go up, it just gets you hacked off. It's that thing that somebody said to you at dinner earlier tonight and you're here right now stewing about it still. That thing, you know what I mean? It's the thing that she's going to say when you go to her house tomorrow, okay? You know what I'm talking about. It's that comment on Facebook. So when it comes up and when it comes in your face, you're going to want to react to it. And you're going to want to turn your vulnerability down and be like, oh, you're dead to me. I'm shutting this thing down. Or I'm going to come up with a sick burn. I want to invite you to stop. And I'm going to give you a one-sentence prayer. Your one-sentence prayer in that moment is this. I wonder how they see it. I wonder how they see it. They may see something crazy, I don't know, but you can take a second to say, instead of judging it, instead of shaming it, instead of cranking the vulnerability down, you turn the vulnerability up, even just a half click. I wonder how they see it. What might that do? How might we be a people that follow the example of Jesus and not just get all excited about him being in the crib? So, may you go forth from this place in 2018, putting, and this Christmastide, putting empathy into this world. The source you need for the strength to do that is right here. God is ultimate empathy. Ultimate reality is empathic. There is source for this. So go forth, seek it, live it, and be empathy bringers. In the name of God, all vulnerable. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.